Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." May we speak in the way that we pray and live in the way that we speak. Amen. First of all, good morning. My name is Will Scheel. I'm the youth director here. I assume most of y'all know that, but in case you don't, if you're visiting, welcome, and this is why I am up here preaching and not Bill. St. Paul's UIC occupies a unique time and space here in our church. We meet on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. in the youth room, which, for those of you who may not know, is actually directly beneath this beautiful sanctuary where we're currently sitting. We meet behind closed doors and at a time when absolutely nothing else is going on here at this church. In that way, our youth are very much like the disciples in today's gospel message, set apart, isolated, rarely seen, and even more seldom heard. And so today, on Youth Sunday, we take a more visible role so that you can see us, so that you can hear us. This is also why today I want to open the door, if only a crack, and share with you what it is that we do when we're here together. Now, my philosophy for Sunday nights is pretty simple. Create a safe community for our youth to openly wrestle with their faith in a supportive environment. So how do I do this? We share a meal. We play games. We catch up on each other's week, and we have a short discussion. Now, most of the time, I try to start off by sharing a story. Sometimes I'll read a poem. Maybe I'll show them a short video. And if all goes well, which sometimes it doesn't, this sparks a question or comment that they find themselves wrestling with as a result. And once they've shared their thoughts on who, what, where, when, and how, I ask them the really hard follow-up of why. Why do you believe the very thing you've just said? Now, I don't do this to be mean. I don't do it to expose flaws in logic. I do it because why is such a great question. It is the basic question of our identity as humans and as Christians. Why are we here? Why should we believe in any of this? Why should I put my faith in Jesus Christ and the mystery of his miraculous resurrection? In the gospel today, I think Thomas is asking something like why when he pushes back against the other disciples after they told him that they've seen the resurrected Christ. Thomas, of course, gets labeled doubting Thomas because of this, which I think is a pretty bum rap. Because I think, just like most of us, Thomas is not as concerned with if he can believe this extraordinary, miraculous, unbelievable thing as much as he is interested in why he should believe it. Thomas needs proof. And what proof does he demand? He tells the other disciples, "Unless I see the wounds, unless I touch the wounds, I won't believe." Of all the criteria Thomas chose and could have asked Jesus to identify himself by, Thomas chooses Christ's woundedness. Thomas wants to see the marks. He needs to see the places where Jesus was hurt. Why? And why does Jesus keep his wounds in resurrection? Have to believe this was a choice, because if he can conquer death, he can certainly heal the wounds that he suffered before it. I think the Gospel of John makes clear to us that Jesus' resurrection is a mission in answering this question of why. Jesus comes to his fearful, broken down, doubtful disciples, and he breathes new life upon them and offers them his peace. He promises the Holy Spirit, but not until after he showed them his wounds. I think Jesus kept his wounds because that's what it means to be a resurrected person. New life doesn't negate or erase pain. It does not rewrite a history of death. And it doesn't allow us to forget past suffering. New life bursts forth from these experiences. New life is possible because of these experiences. And this is the hope in the resurrection. This is the answer to the question why. This is what Thomas desperately needed to know and what we desperately need to be reminded of 2,000 years later. Of course, believing this and proclaiming it as our lives unfold is not always easy. If I were to say, Alleluia, the Lord is risen, y'all would respond. Here in the comfort of this church, on this celebration day, surrounded by friends and family, saying this mantra and believing it comes quite easily for some of us. But for others, it may ring hollow. So that this proclamation of faith is nothing more than an antiquated story made up to make us feel better about the world. But even for those of us who truly believe these words, our faith in this mantra isn't immune to the same doubts Thomas struggled with when his beloved Christ was crucified and laid in a tomb. The reality of pain, death, and suffering creep in, and our unshakable belief begins to show cracks. And the mantra echoes in our minds with less and less certainty. We fail a test. The Lord is risen indeed. A relationship is damaged or lost. The Lord is risen indeed. A job is lost or a dream not realized. The Lord is risen indeed. A loved one is diagnosed with an illness. As most of you know, last year Courtney had a big health scare. She had been monitoring a lump in her throat she had found about a year earlier. But it had started getting bigger, which concerned us, it concerned her doctor, enough that we had it biopsied. And originally, the test results came back negative for cancer, which obviously was a huge relief, not just for the obvious reason, but also because Courtney wasn't insured at the time, and we simply could not afford to pay for the surgery. So armed with this good news, we headed up to Maryland for my sister's wedding, relieved to kind of be moving on. And then as we were driving to my sister's rehearsal dinner, we got a call from Courtney's doctor. The final results had come back suspicious, which the doctor assured us meant that it was going to be cancer. It needed to be removed, and quickly, and we needed to find a way to pay for a $20,000 surgery with money that we didn't have. In that moment, in the car in the middle of La Plata, Maryland, my belief in the resurrection was shaken. Shaken to its core in seconds. Why? Why should I care about the resurrection? I believe, because the resurrection is a mission of hope, of peace. The resurrection is what allows those disciples to leave the locked room. It wasn't just Jesus who conquers death. That hope is there for all of us. That is the answer to why. New life is lived out despite past pain and death. Ask anyone who has suffered and made it through to the other side. New life, happiness, peace, they are all there. But so is the pain. So are the wounds. This is what the empty tomb promises the world. This is what it means to be sent forth by Christ, to be breathed on. We are to live this life with a certainty that no matter what, there is new life. And the world is asking you why. Why do you believe? Why do you proclaim this story? Why even bother with that worn-out story? This is when you show them your wounds and invite them into a new kind of life, a new kind of relationship. The month after we got back from Maryland, I had to leave for our mission trip to Denver. And while we made some progress on finding surgeons and hospitals, we weren't any closer to finding the $20,000 we had to have before we could actually schedule it and have her have the surgery. I was, understandably, completely stressed out and totally broken open. And on that trip, on the mission trip in Denver, I couldn't contain it anymore. I couldn't do it alone. So during one of our nightly wrap-ups where we kind of break down the day, talk about our highs and our lows, I entrusted my struggles to the kids. I shared my brokenness with the entire group. I asked for patience and their understanding. I asked for their prayers. And they gave me so much more. They listened, and then they shared their own stories of brokenness, their own stories of doubt. And we grew together in Christ. And in that moment, new life sprung forth. That is why I do this job. That is why I believe in the resurrection, and that is what we do in EYC.